If you like dropping bombs from downtown, you've come to the right place.
Ahead to Curry. Curry sets, fires, puts it up. Bang! Steph Curry from way downtown.
Get ready for all things basketball.
Let it rain!
Where the hot takes get even hotter.
He's on fire!
This is Beyond the Arc with Jacob Reimer.
Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Arc. Midway point of the college basketball season. Midway point of the conference schedule. But we're right in the thick of things. Conference schedule is really heating up. This Saturday, a loaded, massive slate of games. It's going to be so fun to watch. We're going to break down those. And at the end, I'm going to give you who can dethrone Zach Edey as National Player of the Year. So let's go ahead and get right into it here. Going right into the games tomorrow. There are, not just tomorrow, but for the whole weekend, there are four games that feature top 10 matchups. You got at 4 o'clock on Saturday, you got number four Houston at number 8 Kansas. And then at 6:30, you got the best rivalry in the sport. The first chapter, number 7 Duke at number 3 North Carolina. And then at 8:30, number 5 Tennessee at number 10 Kentucky. Then on Sunday, you've got number 2 Purdue at number 6 Wisconsin. This week, in general, has not been great to a few of those teams that I've listed that are featured this weekend in top 10 matchups. Because if they lose one this weekend, they could drop significantly. Because they've already lost this week. They fell in their trap games. Let's see, who was it? I don't recall Houston playing during the week. But Kansas, they hung on and beat Oklahoma State without Kevin McCullough Jr. That's going to be something to watch there in that game. Duke survived their trap at Virginia Tech. And then North Carolina, they fell in theirs at Georgia Tech. Questionable call at the end of that maybe could have got the Tar Heels the win. But they put themselves in the situation to be down. They were due to have a loss, and it happened. It stinks that it was against a bad Georgia Tech team. But, North Carolina fell for their trap. And then the one to cap it all off, Tennessee and Kentucky. One of these two teams will be leaving this week with two losses. Tennessee lost at home to South Carolina, and Kentucky lost at home in overtime to Florida. And they jump ahead to Sunday. Purdue barely survived Northwestern in overtime. Chris Collins had the greatest ejection that I've ever seen. The shake, I wanted to shake your hand meme going around. Wanted to shake Matt Painter's hand. I mean, it was reasonable with the foul calls and stuff like that, number of free throws. And then going down, dapping up Zach Edey, was not expecting that at all, but it was just the icing on the cake, walking out of Mackey Arena, pumping up the crowd, getting everybody fired up as the game is ending. Purdue survived at home. Wisconsin, they just lost to Nebraska in overtime. It seems like everybody goes to Nebraska, and they can never come out of there with a win. Wisconsin fell in overtime after having a 15-point lead, and I saw some crazy stat. They were like 120-1 now this century when having a 15-point halftime lead. And I think last night was the one loss. But they lost to Nebraska. Huge bounce-back spot for them back at home against the number 2 team in the country. But we're going to go ahead and get right into it. First things first. Kansas and Houston. Something interesting to note if you're wanting to bet on this game. I think right now Houston is like a 2-point favorite. But Bill Self is 13-0 in top 10 matchups at Allen Fieldhouse when Kansas is the lower ranked team. So that's just something to note there if you're wanting to bet on it. I think something to watch in this game is the health of Kevin McCullough Jr. I would assume that he sat out, what night was that, Tuesday night? I would assume that he sat out Tuesday night against the worst team in the Big 12, Oklahoma State. so that he could be ready for Saturday. And if he is, that's a massive piece. He's probably the best defender on the team, if not the whole conference. He's really stepped up in all areas of the offensive end as well. He's been making shots consistently, averaging over 20 a game. He's playing himself into an All-American type level. He's in that conversation. So he will be a key piece to Kansas if he's healthy on Saturday, alongside Hunter Dickinson and DeJuan Harris Jr. They've got a nice solid trio there. KJ Adams, Furphy's been playing well lately. And he's like, the whole thing with Kansas is who is going to step up for them. They thought it'd be Nick Timberlake coming from Towson, and he hasn't really panned out the way that they thought he would. He's been playing better as of late, but Furphy has really come in and taken over into that role and is that energy guy, I guess, being able to knock down shots, get to the rim. And that's been a huge part of Kansas' success this season so far, except for on the road, as they seem to not be able to win away from Allen Fieldhouse. Houston, however, they've struggled on the road a little bit in conference play. Just at the start, they had a nice win. The last two games have been pretty nice for them road-wise, at BYU, at Texas. Two really solid wins there. And now they're going into the toughest one of them all at Allen Fieldhouse. It's going to be a very physical game. Two of the best defenses. Houston has the best defense in the country. Really physical, which is why I think they're favored in this. They've got the guard play. Jamal Shedd, LJ Cryer, he's familiar with playing in Allen Fieldhouse, so he's comfortable. He's played there before. He's had his experiences there. He'll be able to pass that along to his Houston teammates preparing for this game. But it'll be fun for sure. Very fun first game to watch. I think the big key is Kevin McCullough Jr. If he can play how he typically plays, Kansas probably wins, and they're going to have the crowd with him. But the way Houston has been playing as of late on the road, winning a physical game with Texas on the road. I know Texas is no Kansas. They've got better guard play, in my opinion, like scoring-wise, I think so. But no, it's going to be a great game. I'm very excited for this one. Great first game to start this triple header. But it's going to be a fun one from Allen Fieldhouse. And then we get into Duke and Carolina. My favorite game of the night will be the only thing on my TV. All these three games will be the only thing that's on my TV the whole night. But I'm excited for this one because I think North Carolina has shocked a lot of people so far this year. Had a chance to get to 10-0 in the ACC for the first time since 2001, losing to Georgia Tech. So I think coming into this one with that loss, coming off of that loss, I think they're having a massive chip on their shoulder, added to what was already there after being swept last year by Duke. And missing the NCAA tournament after all the hype they had around them. This is Armando Bacot's last home game against Duke. I expect a big game from him. He should be able to dominate Ryan Young and Kyle Filipowski, if that's who is guarding him in this game. Duke has struggled with really physical big men. We've seen that a few times this year in some of their games. And Armando Bacot, he just needs to play like himself, play physical, attack the boards hard. Would love a 20-point, 10-plus rebound night. That'd be very awesome for him to go out. RJ Davis has been great. I love the backcourt matchup in this game. RJ Davis, Elliot Cadeau, and Jeremy Roach, Tyrese Proctor. If you want to throw Jared McCain in there as well. It's going to be a good game. I'm excited to see how RJ plays. I'm anxious to see what Duke does defensively, because we've been seeing it a lot recently. Teams still sending the double at Armando Bacot, and that has kind of allowed RJ to be RJ and hit those wide open shots, attack off of the pass out from Armando, and have the nice little floater. Somebody's going to have to step up, though, other than RJ Davis, maybe a Cormac Ryan. Harrison Ingram has been great. Both of those guys, though, Ryan and Ingram, they struggled at Georgia Tech. I think both went 3-for-14 from the field. So they will have to be better in this game. Hubert Davis cannot shy away from his bench. He has to be consistent with how he's been throughout this year. Has to keep using Seth Trimble, Jalen Washington, giving them significantly more minutes in this game, because it's going to be a long game. Like, I can't recall. I mean, a North Carolina blowout. I mean, maybe the COVID year when Carolina swept them. Duke blew them out in 19 at Cameron, but. It's awesome to see these two schools specifically back up into the top 10, because in the like 15 to 19 years, that's like all it was ranked matchup. And then you've had Carolina falling a little bit. You've had Duke falling a little bit. I think last year they were both unranked when they played each other, both times. So, yeah, it's going to be a great game, but they got to be ready for a fight. Defensively for Carolina, I think I want to see Ingram guarding Filipowski. I know Filipowski will have a major height advantage on that, but Ingram has been so dominant on the boards. He's strong, he's athletic, he's long enough to where I think he can hold his own on Filipowski. He's because Filipowski is going to go out to the perimeter every now and then, and Armando Bacot or Jalen Washington can't go out there with him and defend him on the perimeter, while Harrison Ingram can press up on him and not allow him to shoot threes or attack off the dribble. And I think Ingram is strong enough to where he can't just let him back him down. I think you live with those hook shots if Filipowski pulls him out. But I think that's what Carolina has to do defensively. I think we're going to see Cormac Ryan on Tyrese Proctor. I think that's going to be a matchup to watch. Ryan historically has played well against Duke. I think in Cameron last year when he played at Notre Dame, he had 28. So he's coming into this with kind of like, yeah, he doesn't know the Carolina-Duke rivalry like fully, but he has a sense of it, and he knows what it means. He's going to bring a lot of energy to this team, I think, on Saturday. I want to see Elliott Cadeau have a 2011 Kendall Marshall-like game. Like, he's playing fast. He's taking care of the ball, but also making terrific passes. And just focusing on getting his teammates the ball. Because, like, he's going to have it on a string. Like, that's what he does. He just needs to be smart with the fouls. He got, I think, pretty screwed against Georgia Tech. But taking care of the ball, have the eyes on you because the ball can go. Have all the attention on you because he can go with, like, he can put the ball anywhere and allow an opportunity to happen. I think that's what Kendall Marshall did in 2011. And I think Elliott Cadeau needs to play at that kind of level offensively on Saturday if Carolina wants to win. So yeah, I think that's what it takes for them. For Duke, I'm excited to see what their defensive game plan is. If they focus on trying to shut down RJ, because we have seen, I know it's Shire and Kay, it's different, but they kind of, in 2017, I'm thinking about, they kind of shut down Justin Jackson. He had a cold night offensively, and it allowed Joel Berry, Kennedy Meeks, Isaiah Hicks, those guys to step up. Theo Pinson. But Justin Jackson, he was the All-American player. Joel Berry ended up being the most outstanding player in the Final Four. So do they take away the guy that's playing at the All-American caliber level, RJ Davis, and force an Armando Bacot to go for 2010? Yes, you haven't been able to do this that much this year because he's been throwing doubles at you. Okay, so we're not going to throw a double at you. We're just going to try to take away your current best player in RJ Davis. And make Armando Bacot beat you, dominate, having him dominate you if that happens. Trying to think of what else. Make Elliot Cadeau an offensive scorer. Like, if RJ Davis isn't scoring, somebody else is going to have to step up offensively. So that's going to be huge, huge for Duke, for their game plan, what they're going to do defensively against Carolina. North Carolina has been great at defending the three all year long, and I think that's going to affect Jared McCain. Tyrese Proctor has been able to shoot. Jeremy Roach as well, Caleb Foster. So they're going to have to adjust to it and attack and finish. Playing it simple for the Blue Devils there. We're going to take a quick break here and then get into the next two games. All right, next up, Tennessee and Kentucky. Number 5, Tennessee at number 10, Kentucky. Both teams coming off a loss. So they're going to, both of them are going to have a lot of energy. Kentucky, other than Wednesday night, they have played great at Rupp in conference play. I think the line right now is basically a pick 'em to open things up. If Wagner and Edwards do not play, that makes a big difference. It's going to be interesting because Tennessee's defense travels, guys. That's what's going to help Houston in their game at Kansas. I think that's what's going to help Tennessee in their game as well. Kentucky is just so good offensively. Antonio Reeves has been great. I love the matchup of him and Dalton Kinect, the two best players in the SEC right now. They're just going to be going at it. I think the over could soar in this game. Because Tennessee's offense has increased. It's been much better than what it has been to normal Rick Barnes' team. And then Kentucky coming off a loss, if they have everybody, I think they put on a clinic offensively. That's what's going to be, I think, because Kentucky likes to play fast. Tennessee can play fast at times as well. I think that's what, I wouldn't be surprised if this game soared over. It'll be tough and physical as we get like towards the end, but like they're going to get out and run. They're going to be wanting to make shots. It's going to just be a high energy type of game, I think, which will be fun to finish off the night with this triple header. I love the matchup, Dalton Kinect and Antonio Reeves. That's going to be very fun to watch. The bigs, the young Kentucky bigs against the experienced that Tennessee has. That's going to be fun. Who is the better defensive? Who is better defensively on the perimeter? Zakai Ziegler or Reed Sheppard? That's going to be really cool to watch as well. Just the storylines I'm looking at in this game. It's the winner of this gets the SEC, in my opinion. I mean, Auburn's playing great. Tennessee or Alabama's been playing great as of late. I wonder if they play again in Knoxville. Yeah, they do, last game of the year. Wow. Man, that's going to be a loaded day as well. But yeah, both of these teams coming off a loss. And Kentucky's lost two of their last three, one at South Carolina. So they got to hope that they're fully healthy in this game. Tennessee, I'm pretty sure, is pretty healthy right now, as far as I know. But I think it's going to be a high-energy game. I really do. I think this game could soar over. I wouldn't be shocked at all, because I think Kansas and Houston is going to be a grinded-out type of game, and so will Carolina, Duke, just because that's what the rivalry is. And then, yeah, this is going to be a high-energy game. Shots falling. Just offenses at an all-time high. I'm excited for that. And then Purdue at Wisconsin. Wisconsin is in a major bounce back spot here. Coming home, I think they match up great with Purdue. They've got what it takes inside to battle with Edie. And their guards are better, I think. I still don't think I trust Purdue's guards. I don't know if I can yet with Braden Smith and Fletcher Loyer. Because Fletcher Loyer, games that I watch or games that I bet on, it's hit or miss with him. Typically when I bet against them, it's a hit. When I bet on them, it's a miss. Thanks, Fletcher Loyer, but it's okay. But Kentucky, I mean, not why did I say Kentucky? Wisconsin, they have been, their backcourt has been great. And I've seen this time and time again. When they have a lead late in the game, Chucky Hepburn, Klesmet, they have done an excellent job at just taking care of the ball and getting the best look, dribbling out the clock. AJ Storr is a matchup nightmare. Purdue's got the guys to guard him. But I think this is a big game where Tyler Wall has to step up. And then, yeah, I think at the end of the day, Wisconsin's backcourt is, I think I trust them more already than Purdue. Just because of what happened last year, I'm still a little weary on Purdue's backcourt. I think they've got what it takes on the inside to throw multiple bodies at Edie. Stephen Corral's great on the inside. He's long. He's big. He can match up with him. You just have to. They're great defensively. Wisconsin is great defensively. They can pressure the guards on the perimeter, make the entry pass into Edie tough, force turnovers. And I mean, that's what happens if you get wins on the road. You're forcing the guards to turn the ball over. And Wisconsin can do that. I watched it in person when they played at Ohio State. And they were down 4 with like 6 minutes to go. And then all of a sudden, 4 minutes go by. They went on a 10-0 run and ended up winning the game. And that's what happens late in the game. When they get that lead, they slow it down, take control, take care of the ball, and it's what they do. Purdue, you just got to be you. You just got to take care of the ball, knock down shots, and feed Edie as much as you can. Wisconsin's going to make it tough. They're well coached. They're going to have a game plan, and they're going to be fired up coming off a loss to try and take down Goliath. I think that's going to be another great game as well. But it's the Big Ten. Big Ten, it's always tough to win on the road. That's why I'm kind of leaning Wisconsin in this bounce back spot for them. It's gonna be fun. Gonna take another quick break here. Next, who can catch Zach Edie? We'll get into that in a minute. All right, gonna finish up the show now. Who can catch Zach Edie as the National Player of the Year? I think this is a much closer race than what it seems to be. Yes, Zach Edie's been dominant. He's got better averages compared to last year. So like he's set up to repeat as National Player of the Year. But I think it's much closer than what people think. I think there are three guys that I think are close in the race. And that's RJ Davis from North Carolina, Dalton Kennect from Tennessee, and Tristan Newton from UConn. UConn's number one team in the country. They got St. John's this weekend, the biggest Big East game of the weekend in Madison Square Garden. He's been their best player, averaging near triple-double. And number one team in the country, you got to have somebody on this list, and I think they do. RJ Davis, as I said earlier, he's been outstanding all season long, averaging 21.5 points per game, shooting at a 44.9% clip, almost 45% on the year. He's just been great. He is the main reason, one of the many reasons why North Carolina is having the success that they are. You blink and he's got 15 points, 20 points. Sometimes it's quiet, but then he'll have moments in the game where he's like taking over, like he tried against Georgia Tech. He was making some big time shots, keeping the heels in it. This weekend is the case for him. Him and Dalton Kennect. If those two guys can have impressive outings and get W's and stuff, they increase their chances at catching Zach Edie. Because I personally think winning matters. I think it's an award that should be announced like maybe Final Four weekend or something like that, or after the season. Because like if you get bounced early, the first or second round, and oh yeah, the National Player of the Year, he's already done. And that's what happened last year with Zach Edey losing to a 16 seed. But yeah, RJ Davis, he's been great all season long. Season highs, or career highs, in a lot of areas. Caleb Love transferring, it was great for both parties, and I'm happy that it's turning out that way. But I think RJ Davis has the closest shot of anybody to catch him. Not only just because North Carolina is number three in the country, but because it's North Carolina. You got the brand. I think he's a lock for a first-team All-American. Dalton Knecht, 20.1 points per game. It is very impressive to transfer from a mid-major to a power conference and not see any decreases in your averages. Like, he averaged 20 last year. He's still averaging 20 at Tennessee. He has taken this Tennessee offense to what it is, to another level right now. And that's why they've been so great all season long. It's why they're... I don't think people are talking about them enough as a Final Four team, but it's because of Rick Barnes's past in the NCAA tournament. Dalton Knecht could be that guy. They've got the defense. They've got the guard play. And they've got the great wing scoring. That's what it takes. He put up 37 in Chapel Hill. Yes, Tennessee gave up 100. And Dalton Knecht got hurt late in that game. But he still put up 37 in Chapel Hill. Like, that's very impressive. Big weekend for him with what he can do. He's shooting almost 50% too. Like, that's crazy. That is so crazy. Just the numbers he's been putting up lately is insane. Yeah, I think that's the two closest to Edey is RJ Davis and Dalton Knecht. And it's crazy for Dalton Knecht coming from a mid-major school, just being so gifted offensively. He's played his way to being considered a National Player of the Year. It's just awesome. I think he's right up in there. As I mentioned a little bit ago, you got to include somebody that's on the number one team in America, Tristan Newton. He's been great for them, averaging almost 16 a game, 6.6 rebounds, 5.7 assists. He's a do-it-all guy. If UConn has a great shot at repeating because of him. Because of him. He dictates the pace of every game. He just controls the game. And I think that's why he's got to be considered for this as well. He's on the best team. Averages are great. He's their best player. He's been great. He's had a few triple-doubles this year already, too. Yeah, I think those are the three guys that are closest to Edey. I think so. Well, that's all I have for you guys today. If you want to find me from 4 to about 10:30 on Saturday, I'll be on my couch watching these top 10 matchups go on. It's going to be a very fun weekend of college basketball. I cannot wait. It's going to be so fun. Houston at Kansas, Duke and Carolina, the first chapter of this year, and Tennessee at Kentucky. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We will see you next time.